With the setting of the sun today, Rosh Hashanah will begin.
This holy day marks the start of the days of awe and will end with Yom Kippur, the most important day of the Jewish year. During this time of introspection, Jews atone for wrongs during the past year. They ask forgiveness and make amends personally, communally, and divinely. It is an ancient ritual of healing. During the month of October, we are invited to reflect on our role as a community of healing. Today, we turn toward forgiveness. Healing requires patience, time, and tenderness, remembering. When I walk through my garden, it is common for me to see the glint of light at ground level. Shards of glass travel to the surface, exposed. I gather them in small piles to spare bare feet from future injury. My home has a history. It was built decades ago, and in it dwelt a woman who left a mean husband, I've been told. She grew roses, and her name was Grace. Shards of glass buried just below the surface emerge. This week, I awoke to darkness, feeling the sharp pain of an old wound between friends. Careless words and angry feelings churned in my mind. The sting was fresh. Under the blanket of night, I said a prayer of well-being for my friend and I, waiting for the sun to rise. Come, let us create a spacious place for clear sight of brokenness, a place for open hearts, minds, and bodies, where the possibility for forgiveness and reconciliation may grow and wholeness may be found.
Do you have any old wounds? Can wounds, no matter how old, how deep, be healed? I won't go into details, but about 25 years ago, under tremendous pressure, I made an unethical business decision that hurt innocent people, people I didn't even know. A year before that event, I would have told you that I would have told you just need a minute. I would have told you that I would never do anything like that. I was too honest and ethical. However, under extreme pressure, I told myself things like, well, just this once. I'll straighten it out later. Nobody will get hurt. Well, as you can guess, it didn't work out that way. I left that situation behind and buried it. For decades, that's how old it is, Got to keep breathing. For decades, I would find that old wound bubbling up, and sometimes it would feel worse than when it was fresh. Remembering always made me feel awful. Knowing what I'd done. Facing that my morality wasn't what I wanted to believe it was. I had common ground with all those people. I'm sure I can get through this. No, I'm fine. Thank you. It's taking a while, though. I'm sorry. No matter how much time went by, as is totally obvious, the wound was not going away. I think it was recent deaths in my family that brought on the thought that I didn't want to carry this wound to my grave. But what could I do? A therapist I talked to me about restorative justice, to find healing by correcting an injustice by some form of restitution. Ideally, you would make amends with the actual people harmed, but after 25 years, that was not possible. But I could do something to help the community of those I felt I'd wronged. Not perfect, but something. To help me be fair, I selected someone who would give me some unbiased advice. Given his help, the therapist's encouragement, and my own judgment, I made a financial donation I felt was commensurate. Obviously, again, the wound is still there. But it doesn't carry nearly the same emotional charge, believe it or not, that it used to. I've noticed another benefit, and finding a way to forgive myself, I believe I found it easier to forgive everyone else. Consider if there's something in your past that you'd like to find healing with today.
Good morning. Wave at me if you're not hearing me well. I'm losing my voice with the years. I'm Bob Norris. I've been involved in a lot of these issues. You know, it is our custom. Make sure I got the right thing here. It is our custom to give one half of our plate away every week to organizations that help us bring our values into the world. We are one of five Front Range Unitarian Universalist congregations who have joined together with the American Friends Service Committee to form the Metro Denver Sanctuary Coalition. In responding to the invitation to provide sanctuary, we embody the integrity of our faith tradition to proclaim and protect the dignity and worth of every human being. Providing sanctuary affirms solidarity with our immigrant sisters and brothers in our conviction that families should not be torn apart by unjust policies. Should the opportunity arise, we are prepared to support sanctuary for an immigrant and their family, providing with the means to continue to resist their deportation while hosted in a safe space for their body and spirit. The ability to remain with their families and community in a public platform to proclaim their prophetic message regarding just and humane immigration policy. To date, two people have entered and left sanctuary with the help of the coalition. Our donations have helped to financially support their struggle to remain legally in the United States through help with legal fees and day-to-day expenses. Funds collected today will be kept in reserve for future families who choose sanctuary. Through advocacy and press coverage, the Metro Denver Sanctuary Coalition not only helps families whose members are facing deportation, but also brings awareness to their situation to people whose lives are not directly impacted by our broken immigration systems. That is their way of healing the wounds of current immigration policy that are harmful to so many families and communities in this country. Please give generously to the work of the Metro Denver Sanctuary Coalition. Thank you.
I have served a full life sentence as a prisoner of my past, as a victim of a victim of a victim. Seems my parents' parents' parents left traps that held me fast, and they still catch me even when I think I've licked them. Well, I have blamed them, I have fought them, but I never understood. All they really did was did the best they could. Is there a way to rise above if I look at them with love? Though I look at them full honest in the face, can I make my peace at last with the pieces of the past and enfold them in forgiveness's embrace? And enfold them in forgiveness's embrace. I forgive my poor flawed parents for the things they could not be. I forgive my valiant lovers for not completing me. And the hardest thing of all now, I forgive myself the sin of not being all I planned and all I thought I would have been. But there's an alchemy in time, transforms each grief and loss and scar into the precious stuff of who we are. Is there a way to rise above when I look at them with love? Though I don't deny that harm has taken place, I can make my peace at last with the pieces of the past and enfold them in forgiveness's embrace. Some call it wisdom and some just call it grace. When we make our peace at last with the pieces of the past and enfold them in forgiveness's embrace, and enfold them, and in for all them. Now I inform them in forgiveness as in
your lunch money. For the work of the fellowship and the work of the Metro Denver Sanctuary Coalition, we dedicate our efforts and these our offerings.
From you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and from this we
to forgive is to set a prisoner free and realize that prisoner was you. Lewis Sneeds. I finally did it. I finally wrote the letter that I was composing in my head for over a year. It's in the mail. There's no going back now. It's been my practice over the Jewish High Holy Days to write to someone I believe that I've wronged and offer my apologies. Some of you have received those letters in past years. Last year at this time, I was unable to send that particular letter. The hurt felt too fresh, and I was still picking up the shards of glass scattered about me and within my own heart. And I was humbled by the fact that I could have induced hurt in the way that I did. In this case, I felt it would have been presumptuous to ask for forgiveness, so I only offered my apology and invited dialogue when and if this person would welcome it. And I've really been reflecting upon that, about what it, asking for forgiveness is a big ask to someone you have hurt. So for me, that's just taking care of my side of the equation without an expectation of return. It's too early to tell if this act, if this letter, will release the prisoner that I've held captive inside of me. I'll keep you posted. I've worked hard on forgiving myself for this act, and it's remained harder than I thought. Because the internal process of self-forgiveness came as a surprise to me how hard this process was, because I am solid in the belief, in an orientation towards life that I learned through the practice of compassionate communication. And I really believe that everyone is truly doing the best they can in each and every moment of their lives to meet beautiful, universal needs that are within them. Needs like the desire for love and beauty, the need to be understood, the need for autonomy, the need to belong, the need for harmony, which can also be seen as, which can also come out as avoiding conflict. There's all these beautiful needs we have in us, and I truly believe that our actions are really just a desire to have our tender souls meet those needs. But the strategies we choose and the decisions we make about those actions sometimes harm other people. Does that make sense to you? Do you kind of get that conceptually? So it's not the needs or the intent that go south. It's these strategies that often hurt others. Now, this doesn't imply that people should not be held accountable for their actions. In fact, if it's done right, an invitation to restitution asks for deeper reflection about how to meet those basic needs in ways that involve, that invites everybody, and perhaps can call for deeper healing than a simple kind of contractual restitution might. So this orientation of life that I have, this orientation that assumes good intentions, even when I don't understand the actions, which you can imagine taken to the extreme of actions that you see, is one of the edges that I walk as a spiritual practice. When I really don't understand an intention or an action, how do I go back to feeling or to an orientation of what might be the basic needs that that person is trying to meet? But living in that way has greatly increased my compassion for others and all the ways that we bump into each other as we are trying, often unconsciously, to care for our own tender souls and the own wounds in our own lives. But turning that compassion in towards myself has been a bigger challenge than I thought it would be. I guess I was closer to that edge than I can be with other people. Now, traditional Jewish practice invites us to go directly to the person you believe you've harmed and ask for forgiveness. It's similar to the 8th and 9th steps of the 12-step program. Step 8 is to make a list of all people we have harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. And step 9 in the 12-step program is to make direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. It's a very beautiful practice in the 12-step program that I know has brought a lot of healing to people. Within the Jewish tradition, there's also the acknowledgement that we often unknowingly harm others. Unknowingly. And so forgiveness in that case can't be directly sought, but needs to be in relationship with ourselves, just an acknowledgement of that, and with whatever higher power we might experience. Traditional Jewish practice also asks those who are approached to actually offer forgiveness, thus restoring right relationship between people and God. Now, in some cases, the opportunity to directly forgive someone isn't available to us, in the same way that the opportunity for Chris to ask for direct forgiveness wasn't available to him. But I believe that that work can still happen in our hearts and souls, releasing the prisoners within us that keep us held captive and in a pain that does not allow for love to flow freely. But I also struggle with that requirement to forgive, as healing from a hurt has its own time frame. And I would never want someone to feel like their incapacity to forgive is a failure on their own part. I can see the possibility of more soul damage, or at a minimum, just shallow platitudes, should someone feel pressured to forgive before they were truly ready to do so. So it's a little dance that we have within ourselves. But I do know, however, is the act of asking or granting for forgiveness is hard, hard work. We are all bumping into each other all the time, in little and great big ways. I think that work is hard to do without a nurturing community of support. Chris called upon a therapist and an unbiased other, and I'm sure countless others over these 25 years to help him really think through how to make restitution to the people he harmed and how to come to peace with it. I have called upon the season within the Jewish calendar, shared by millions of people, to inspire my action after much soul searching. And I got to tell you, I sent that letter because I knew this service was coming. You held me accountable because I could not be up here talking about forgiveness without engaging in that act that I have a commitment to myself to do. But we created this service by choice in our congregation. And I feel that Unitarian Universalism as a whole is short, falling short on this need that people have for forgiveness and to make things right again. We don't have a season. We don't have regular rituals like the Catholic tradition with confession, which I came from. We tend toward an onward and upward, keep on moving forward orientation to life, or at least to our own lives. We might want to look back at other people's lives and cast some judgments. But that doesn't make room for a season of contrition or communal support for the acts of forgiveness. But today, we will make room for that. We will make room for that. In these days, when those following the Jewish tradition take time to ask and offer forgiveness, let us too search our hearts as an invitation to wholeness for ourselves and for the world. Tikkun Olam, let us repair the world through our own soul searching. In a moment, I'll offer you a meditation which I found at the Jewish Meditation Project website. On their website, they write, Yom Kippur is a great day of Jewish mindfulness. Mindfulness is the opposite of forgetfulness. We forget to live in the present moment. We forget the world is not really about our immediate needs and desires. We forget to show those we love the love that they deserve. We forget that being stressed and angry only leads to more unhappiness. The meditation I will share with you was created by Jack Kornfield as a part of the meditation project's Yom Kippur service. So I invite you into this forgiveness meditation at whatever level feels comfortable for you. And as it is completed, anyone who wishes may come forward and take a stone here to remind them of their own wishes to ask for forgiveness or offer forgiveness in the coming days, weeks, and months. These stones rest in the blessed water of this community as a reminder that we are all still wrapped in love, no matter our shortcomings, and that this beloved community supports you as you seek right relationship with yourself, with others, and with whatever you hold dear that is greater than you. So if you pick up a stone later after the meditation, I invite you to carry it with you or keep it in a prominent place. And when you feel that the act of forgiveness is complete and your burdens are lightened, you may release that stone in a place that feels appropriate to you. And now I invite you to let yourself sit comfortably. Allow your eyes to close if you wish, and your breath to be natural and easy. Let your body and mind relax and slowly begin breathing gently into your heart center, opening up that place in your own being. Let yourself feel the barriers you have erected and the motions that you have carried because you have not forgiven yet. Not forgiven yourself or not forgiven others. Gently let yourself feel the pain of keeping your own heart closed in this way. And then continuing to breathe softly, begin asking and extending forgiveness, repeating the following words that I will say to yourself, and letting the images and feelings that come up grow deeper as you repeat them. for forgiveness of others. Repeat to yourself, there are many ways that I have hurt and harmed others. Have betrayed or abandoned them. Cause them suffering, knowing or unknowingly. Out of my own pain, fear, anger, and confusion. And now let yourself remember and visualize the ways you have hurt others. Gently see and feel the pain you may have caused, remembering it is out of your own fear and confusion. See if you can feel your own sorrow and regret. Imagine that you might be able to release some of this burden and ask for forgiveness. Create a picture of the memory that still burdens your heart. And then to each person in your mind, repeat, I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your forgiveness. And now I invite us into forgiveness for yourself. And repeat in your own mind these words. There are many ways I have hurt and harmed myself. I have betrayed or abandoned myself. Many times through thought, word, or deed. Knowingly and unknowingly. And feel your own precious body and life. Let yourself see the ways you have hurt or harmed yourself. Gently picture them, remember them. And allow yourself to feel the sorrow you have carried from this. And a sense that you can release these burdens. Extend forgiveness to yourself for each of these burdens, one by one. Repeat this to yourself. For the ways I have hurt myself, through action or inaction, out of fear, pain, and confusion. I now extend a full and heartfelt forgiveness. I forgive myself. I forgive myself. And the third form of forgiveness is for those who have hurt or harmed you. And repeat these words in your own mind. There are many ways that I have been harmed by others. Abused or abandoned. Knowingly and unknowingly. In thought, word, or deed. Gently let yourself picture and remember these ways. And gently let the sorrow you have carried from this past be felt, as well as the sense that you can release this burden of pain by extending forgiveness when your own heart is ready. And now say to yourself, gently, I remember the many ways others have hurt or harmed me. Wounded me out of their own fear, pain, confusion, and anger. I have carried this pain in my heart. And to the extent that I am ready, I offer them forgiveness. To those who have caused me harm, I offer my forgiveness. I forgive you. Let this only be a beginning to releasing the pain through these three directions of forgiveness. Forgiveness of the own pain we have inflicted on others. Forgiveness of the pain we have inflicted on ourselves. And forgiveness of others for the wounds we have felt. In this meditation, you may already have felt a release in your heart, but you may not have. For forgiveness is on its own time frame. And for some great pains, you may not feel a release, but only the burden and the anguish that you have held. Touch this softly. Be forgiving of yourself. Forgiveness cannot be forced and it cannot be artificial. But it can be practiced. So continue the practice and let the words and images gradually in their own way, open up your heart. You may wish to make a forgiveness meditation a regular part of your life, letting go of the past and opening your heart to each new moment with wise, loving kindness. And I invite you now, if you wish, to come forward and take a stone during the musical meditation. Thank you.